And welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and video show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. If you're new to the channel, please subscribe so you won't miss a new episode. I'm your host, Fritz Bussemaker, and today I'm delighted and privileged to have a conversation with Kevin Kier. Kevin, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me, Fritz. Appreciate it.
Dear audience, I'm going to introduce Kevin, just a little bit, and then we're going to cover his background and what motivates him. You're currently the CEO and co-founder of Purpose. Prior to that, when I did my research, at least 15 different experiences, including working for Yahoo.
Yeah.
And you've spent your career building digital marketplaces across the globe. Educated and born in the US, but currently living in Geneva. So, Kevin, again, welcome to the program.
Happy to be here.
It's called The Brand Called You. So I like to look at what people's brand is when I go online. And if I look at your LinkedIn profile, quite a lot of people recognize you as a marketeer, being somebody in advertising. Would you agree with that? Is that who you think you are?
I think that was one of my many chapters in my life.
Yeah.
Definitely, I started out most of my professional career, you know, monetizing pixels, leveraging algorithms to the benefit of growing market share, you know, job creation, etc. But I left, gosh, has it been, it's been about 10 years now that I've been out of that sector. But the sector is just a really vibrant, fun sector to be involved in. And because I was at Yahoo, created this like alumni network where a whole bunch of us have gone out and done a whole bunch of other things. And I think the reason behind that is you start to learn a lot about marketplaces, different dynamics when you're in the heart of advertising. So no, I don't consider myself an advertising person anymore, but there's certainly components I carry with me on, you know, building the company I'm doing now.
I understand that. So so what is your background that led you to be a member of that community to start off with?
You know, it's interesting because it's everyone thinks their careers are kind of this like linear trajectory. You know, you start out and you follow this path and you think what you're doing is always where you're going to end up and things of that nature. I think I've been very fortunate to work across a number of different industries, you know, starting out primarily in banking, funny enough. I had a finance degree. I wanted to use that degree. I wanted to make money. And I was just purely capitalist driven. And I started to realize that the banking sector just wasn't the right fit for me. After banking, and part of the reason was, is I realized I wasn't really building something. So now comes along like the dot-com phase, late 90s. I did that for a few years, built up. This was doing like your personal health, like tracking your stuff, understanding. And this was like one of the first times where I saw the consumer was empowered to understand information that normally was sitting somewhere else, right? The internet's just about democratizing all kinds of things. Then you have this dot-com burst. And I'm like, okay, maybe this isn't the right sector. So I go into stationery of all things. And within stationery, it's actually really good because you have supply chain, you have cost of goods sold, you have manufacturing, you have call center. And it really, I guess, helped me to think about traditional business, but recognize I want to be an internet.
Okay.
And at that point, it was a story of, okay, how do I get into the big boys club, you know, of internet? And I really wanted to be at a big internet company because now the things that, you know, kind of cycle back from the bust, got my graduate degree. And then I spent 10 years at Yahoo. Yahoo was like getting a PhD in the internet. 10 years, 10 CEOs, you know, great strategies, great ideas, great plans. And throughout all of those, I was always learning from these new leaders that would come in and they'd have an incredible vision, but some market dynamics or something would change. And then we get another CEO like the next year. But again, because I was there, I use it. I would say it's not just a PhD in like the internet. Like I just got so much exposure to different types of leaders. Most all of them were really good. There are a few bad apples in there, But now I'm in climate, and you're like, okay, how did that transition happen? And when I was at Yahoo, corporate social responsibility, you remember when that kicked off, right? CSR. And when CSR hit, I went to our CEO of Yahoo Europe, and I said, I think we need to do something. I feel like our skills are transferable and the world needs something, but I just didn't know what that meant. And I remember this very, very well. And he said, will it get us more clicks? Well, maybe not directly, but you know, it'll tell something good and we'll feel good and we'll be giving back. The outcome of that was the Yahoo Employee Foundation locally here in Switzerland. We didn't have that. And what that meant is, like every employee foundation, you siphon off a portion of payroll and you commit to supporting something. And being Yahoo, we said, well, we don't want to do an NGO, not that there's anything wrong with that, but let's be a little more progressive. And so we put seed money into a startup doing renewable energy in off-grid communities. I don't know anything about renewable energy and off-grid communities at that point, but I loved the founder story and I loved how they were taking technology into these sectors and just making such a big change to society, change to education, change to health, and reducing carbon emissions. And so that was my first sort of step into the climate space. But then I continued on my monetizing pixels algorithm path, left Yahoo after 10 years, did some stuff in real estate, but I was always helping this company. They eventually asked me to be on the board and help them to raise funds. And I just got engrossed in climate, particularly what the global north and the global south is and our differences and our lifestyles. And so I did more entrepreneurial stuff after I left Yahoo 9 years ago. And again, I saw that there were transferable skills as I found that out helping this this startup, and got into what was an impact accelerator here in Geneva. So these are people starting their professions, looking at profit and purpose. And I was blown away. I was absolutely inspired by these people, about 30 of them over 3 years, mentoring, advising, helping them. And I really was skeptical at the beginning, like, how can you have profit and purpose at the same time? Aren't those kind of like oil and water? My old banking brain was telling me, like, I'm not sure those can happen. But I got so inspired. I thought, I want to be in the sector. I want to do something. And okay. So as I built out this network around this accelerator, I started finding all the people that shared my passion here in Geneva and then all over the world. And we started looking at where we thought there were massive gaps. And where we felt there was a huge gap was sort of two-sided. One is not enough capital going to real climate solutions. And then the other gap was the everyday consumer on the street doesn't really have agency over climate change. Like, where are you going to go? What are you going to do? We all need to make changes to our habits. And I think combining the two of those with my digital background and marketplaces, et cetera, is what led us to do it. I guess the point I would make amongst this story is different industries, different trajectories. You know, sometimes you're getting promoted. You know, sometimes you're the CEO of this tiny company, and then you're like the VP of a big company. But along this journey, I felt I was always looking for what motivates me. And at the time, the things I was doing was motivating me. And then I was thinking a little bit further out. And now I'm in a great position because I'm super motivated, you know, wake up every day pretty excited about what I'm doing. It's not easy, but, you know, I'm having fun.
And I don't know if that was a conscious or subconscious not, but it was interesting to see that when I started off my career, I had this capitalistic mindset working for a finance sector. And then your story very quickly then describes how you realized that, hey, there's more in this world than just earning money or getting more clicks.
Yeah.
But what is at the time your North Star, which guided you, so hey, there's more out there than just focusing on you could say revenue. What did you see or what did you feel?
I would take it back to professionally. It was being around these young entrepreneurs and seeing their determination and their belief in the future that really showed me that, like, okay, I've built all these great skills in a traditional marketing advertising background, but they're very transferable. So I was learning that. But I think you have to figure out, like, what is the legacy you're going for? And, you know, when I was a kid, we would go camping, and my father would always say, when we'd leave the campsite, you know, leave the campsite better than you found it. And so for me, as I think a little bit further into the future, I think we need to figure out a way that we leave the planet better than we found it. And I think we're struggling to figure out how we do that. And so for me, if we as a society can organize better, I believe that we have the potential to do that. I have absolute faith in our potential to do that. I just think it takes a little bit more coordination.
Okay, so you're optimistic about climate change, or at least optimistic that we can resolve the current issues. That's what I'm hearing you saying.
Yeah.
It's also interesting to say that small advice, and I've been there as a parent myself, and also as a kid, where your parents would probably even unconsciously, you could say, point you to something that actually sticks with you for the rest of your life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. My folks are instrumental in creating my values. I feel incredibly fortunate how much it was, freedom to choose and do the things I want to do. When I was in grad school, just to go on down a very short rabbit hole on this topic, I saw a lot of people who were doing things because their parents wanted them to do them.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what that feels like. And I feel very fortunate for that. I mean, I'm often telling my parents, like, hey, I'm going to go out and do this, and I want to do this, and here's where we're moving to Switzerland, which was like a big deal, you know, yeah, coming up on 15 years ago, and just supportive, right? So I think I'm very fortunate, and I'm, you know, very close to my family even today, even though we're, you know, thousands of miles apart.
Okay, now, unfortunately, that's, I would say, something beyond the control of an individual. So you have the fortune of having parents in an environment which supports those decisions you're making.
Yeah.
If you don't have that environment, is there other ways you can get and organize that for yourself?
I can only speak from my own experience, because I think offering advice to something I haven't been involved in,
yeah,
I think that's unfair to a certain extent. But I guess the thing I would also say is, along anyone's journey, whether you're, you know, in any profession whatsoever, you need guidance along the way, and you need mentors to help you get there. Yes, my parents, I'm fortunate I had that foundation of love and trust and, you know, go do what you want to do. But along the way, I needed a lot more people to support me and guide me on things that maybe I couldn't get from my parents, or they didn't have that experience. So I've been very conscientious about reaching out to people that are in sectors, share some of my values, and asking them to be a mentor and guide me along my journey. So I think that's a huge, huge factor.
Okay, and that's something you can organize yourself. And it's also something maybe I think I've heard you say is, you've had so many people, for instance, in your Yahoo story, said who at the end of the day you've learned from a lot of those leaders out there. So it's also being open to what you're seeing around you,
yeah,
and trying to absorb that.
Yeah, yeah.
It all leads up to where you are right now, and that is co-founding, co-creating Purpose.
Yep.
Now, I'll tell you, when I look at Purpose on the internet, if I go to the LinkedIn page, Purpose is co-creating a new sector with decentralized finance, regenerative finance, our future states to have millions of consumers and thousands of businesses that care about reducing climate emissions. That's the LinkedIn description.
Yep.
Now I go to the Purpose website, getting rewarded for fighting climate change.
Yep.
Just wondering, in the marketeer in you, why that difference, and which one is better?
The difference is very, very intentional. I think on LinkedIn, you spend a little bit more time getting to know the companies and the profiles and the people that you're following. And so you have more time to like read through and digest it. On a website, the strategy has been very clear to be very concise about what you're doing. We are all overwhelmed and consumed with information on a daily basis, and it's not getting any better. And so I think when you arrive at a site, it needs to be very intentional, like, what is it I'm doing? Why am I here? And I think you always have to bring it back to what's in it for me as a user. And often, particularly in our sector, supporting the climate is not an investment. It's a donation that comes through varying things, or it's whatever it may be. But for us, showing that you can do good and get a return, kind of going back to my points about profit and purpose, most people don't think that's possible. And so we want to be very forward in expressing that is possible. That's the vision in the future, what we believe is the right model to solve for the climate crisis.
I actually want to confirm that by pointing out to an interview I did a year ago with Professor Alex Edmonds of the London Finance School. He did a lot of research on combining profit and purpose, wrote that in a book called Grow the Pie, which became the Financial Times Manager Book of the Year, which basically states profit and purpose do need to be aligned. It's just a mindset people have that they're opposite forces, but when you look at his research, actually they should be aligned. Only thing you need to do is have a long-term vision and realize that it's the short term which is killing us, not the long term.
Completely agree, and I'm not finished with that book, but I love the book. The data on that book is just unbelievable. But I think it's also kind of coming back to what I said a little bit earlier about coordination amongst all these entities, in the world. And I think if corporations, if governments, and then us as, let's call them, citizens of the world, are more open to thinking longer term and not just that immediate sort of gratification for something. I think we need to open our eyes to the possibilities of what that means. And that's, purpose isn't just about making sure there's more money going into climate finance. We also want to educate on how things work and potentially be in a position where folks feel, I would say, some agency, not just from a financial perspective, but I know what my carbon footprint is. I understand the different things going on around the planet, and then you're part of it versus watching it and feeling like I can't do anything there. And I think that's, a big part of the climate story.
Now, so the core of purpose is, as far as I understand it, is as an individual, you can put money in a purpose fund that's going to be invested in organizations trying to battle climate change. And the return on investment on their initiative goes back to the investor, the individual.
Yeah, so it's shared amongst the purpose community. So we take a portion of it, but majority of it goes back. And again, I go back to the profit motive, which is we did some research on this, and people talk about next gens. Now I use the word now gen because we're all here right now. And when we did this research, we said, would you put $100 to support the climate? And 33% of our respondents and focus groups said yes. It's like, wow, okay, thirds, that's not bad. 8 billion people on the planet, it's a little over 2.6, 2.7 billion, not bad. Not that we had representation of the world, but nonetheless, you can extrapolate. And then we say, okay, what if that 100 actually gave you a return? It didn't quantify the return, but a return itself. That number jumps up to 66%. So in the end, I think we have to understand how we are motivated individually, and how if we are able to combine the two, it's good for me, it's good for the planet. That's pretty powerful.
Now, Kevin, in order to prepare for this interview, I went to the website and I took the test to find out what my own carbon footprint is. And I shared that online and invited others to do the same. So I got one reply, and I just want to, share that with you. Took it, doesn't make a lot of sense, too generic questions and assumptions. Be careful when making life choices based on the survey. So having taken a test, I do understand that comment. What's your reaction to this feedback?
I'd love to meet this person and understand a bit more behind, you know, a couple of sentences there. It is not meant to be, in fact, if you really want to do a carbon quiz, you need to answer about 100 to 150 questions. And I'm pretty certain that no one's going to do that unless you're in this sort of climate nerd group, which I consider myself to be part of. So it's directional, and it's supposed to give you the categories of what is driving my number to be high or low or whatever it may be. And then from there, you can evolve to what are the daily habits that I want to change.
It's the first stepping stone.
Exactly. And so as we evolve, we're more than happy to take someone who's coming into this climate thing from the outside and saying, wait, I really want to understand this. And we can take you further down that rabbit hole and get you into those 100-odd questions. For now, it needs to be directional. And a part of it, too, is I go back to my point earlier about the time that we all have and the information we consume. If we want to engage people and get them to start thinking about it, asking them to take 100 to 150 question survey, you're not going to capture them. They're going to move on to the next thing. So love to meet this person and love to hear their perspectives and why.
We can definitely make that happen. So we'll take that offline. Couple of questions. Can you describe a couple of maybe up to like two or three key milestones in your career or in your life, and to what extent they've influenced where you are right now?
Sure. I'd say the first milestone is getting my college degree. First person in my family to do so. And that was driven by my family and the support I mentioned earlier. Went on to get my graduate studies, so went even further than that. I wanted to continue to learn more and expand. The second piece of those milestones, I would say, is probably moving out of the U.S. I grew up there, born and raised there. And when I was with Yahoo, they were shooting me around the globe to launch all these products. And I would drop into Southeast Asia and I drop into Europe. And it was like, it was just mind blowing. I really felt I was getting not only incredible professional experience, but a personal one as well. And so moving here really changed our family dynamics. It really changed how we spend our time. Switzerland's very much aligned to our values. That would be a second one. And then I think the third one is that transition that I went from the pure sort of capitalist to thinking more entrepreneurially and holistically about the climate and the environment and the activities that we're doing. As I said, I did the board thing 10 years ago with that climate company, but it was like a trajectory. But now that I'm fully, for the last, what am I on now? 4 or 5 years completely embedded in impact, and more specifically now climate. You know, they're kind of chapters, like get the degree, move somewhere in the world and, you know, broaden your experiences and who you know and what you do. And then now like lasering in on climate is sort of the third chapter. I'm sure there'll be a handful of chapters in the future, but okay. Those are the ones I can think of.
Okay, great milestones. Any was that a bumpy road? Were any mistakes you made or errors where you say, hey, that actually was a very great learning experience?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it was definitely a bumpy road. Like this wasn't none of what I did between, you know, going to college to getting a top 20 MBA. Working for Yahoo, moving across the globe, like those are shocks to the system. And they're bumpy because you're out of your comfort zone. You're pushing against things that are hard to do. You know, moving across the globe is a big deal. People do it all the time, but still, it's a big deal. getting into a top 20 MBA when my parents didn't have college degrees, I was a bit of an oddball in the room, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So I lessons learned would be put yourself out there, get uncomfortable,
yeah.
try different things, and I would say start early when you're doing that, because you don't have family or a mortgage or college education, right?
Yeah, no, I understand that. But that's also, I was wondering what your take on that is. So you're building up a career, you're traveling the globe with a very well-known, reputable company. At a certain point, you realize I'm going to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
You become an entrepreneur. That's, to what extent is that a leap of faith? Because do people then, did your environment applaud you or say, no, you should not do that, because why are you leaving? Why should you be leaving?
I got both, right?
Oh, okay.
I got people that are in the corporate sector that are like, really, you're going to go out and do this startup stuff? And then I have, as I mentioned earlier, this amazing Yahoo alumni network who have jumped out and built companies and done different sectors. And so I got the support from them. And I think you have to choose whose support you want, right?
Yes.
And I've always aspired for who are the people that are doing the things I want to be doing in 5 to 10 years, watch them, read about them, if they're somebody famous, for example, or surround yourself by people that are of your like ambition. If you surround yourself with people that are bringing you down, that's all that's going to happen. And so I always feel I'm trying to keep up with my peer group. And it's not because I need to do that for myself. I realize, like, wow, there's so much to be done and there's so much opportunity out there. You just have to take that risk, have inner faith that you'll get there. You're not going to know all the answers. But going into the entrepreneur space, you really don't know the answers. So you got to think, okay, what's the worst that can happen if this goes down? Is anybody going to die? Generally speaking, no, right? The business might go under, your brand might be tarnished for a little while, but the fact that you tried says a lot about your character, your strength, your resilience, and that you're optimistic about potential. And I love seeing people that go out there and try and try and try again. I mean, often some of the startups that we look at, that's like their fourth startup, right?
Yeah.
Ones that we think are amazing. So I think you have to have that grit and that resilience and confidence in yourself that you can do something.
Tenacity. So that is actually great advice also to the young people out there who want to start their own career and maybe consider an entrepreneurship. Time is running very fast, Kevin, unfortunately. So I just wanted to end with, where are you with purpose today? And where do you want to take it so we can watch that?
Where we are today is we've raised a decent sum of money from business angels all over the globe that believe in a vision and a future where everyone gets to participate in solving for the climate crisis. We are now entering into a private beta where we're going to solve a number of different problems before we open it up to the world later this year. And I think that I have no shortage of ideas about how this model could expand, but I have to stay laser focused on the model that we have that's focused on the climate and a for-profit motive. And from there, we'll learn and we'll grow. I look to companies like Revolut as an example. I saw their founder speak a number of years ago at the Slush conference, and I thought, who needs a digital bank? Like, what's that about?
Yeah.
And I see how they've revolutionized the space and how they've changed that. And so I'd love to be in 5 years, the model purpose, not me specifically, but purpose would be the model by which people are thinking, okay, not only does this apply to climate finance and look what it's done, but this could go into health, this could go into education, this could go into NGOs. And I think that would be an amazing trajectory to be on. We got a lot of work to get there, though.
Okay, well, we're going to watch that space. So, Kevin, I want to thank you so much for sharing your insights which got you where you are today with purpose and a great vision to look to ahead. So thank you for your time, Kevin.
Thanks for having me today. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.